This is March the 10th, 1978, and I'm talking to Jake Regal at his house in Long Beach, California. And this is the fourth 45-minute tape side we've made together. What did you do during the Depression?
I worked extras in the oil fields. At that time, they, small outfits did their own well pulling, and they did little clean-out jobs and things like that. And I used to go to Signal Hill. I'd go to different outfits in the morning and see if they had any work. There's a whole bunch of us would go. And we'd go at 8 o'clock in the morning, and if we didn't get any work, we'd go back at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and see if they had any work. And if they didn't, and sometimes we'd go out at midnight. And there was a group of guys that'd go from different places. And we got extra work like that, and that's the only way to live. And the guys were real good. If I got to work today, and somebody else didn't get to work, and the guy come out the next morning and picked me out to go to work, I'd say, well, I worked yesterday, maybe it's for a different outfit. Take this guy. And we split it up among each other so we'd get by. That's the way we got by.
Who were the people in your group? I mean, where did you know them from?
Well, we'd all worked together in the oil fields for years. I can't remember the name. I know Henry Elmore wasn't in that group because he had a steady job. He was in a well building gang. Ed Maxwell and, oh, gosh, I can't remember those people's names. It's been too long.
But how did you form this group?
We just come from everywhere. We were looking for jobs. We'd worked together before at different times, and we knew each other. We didn't form a group. We just was up there looking for jobs.
How did you decide where to go to look?
Well, we knew the outfits that hired people part-time for jobs.
How did you find out?
Well, we knew that. We knew who the small outfits was that done their own well filling and stuff and hired people part-time. There was quite a few small outfits, like Jim O'Donnell and, I can't remember all of them.
Was it like a shape-up? You know what that is?
No.
Do you know what that is?
No.
Well, it's a place in some towns, like the towns in the San Joaquin Valley.
No, it wasn't like that.
They have a place where you can go stand on the corner and people come by and hire you.
No, it wasn't.
There wasn't like a place in Signal Hill where everybody went who was looking for a job at a little place. And
no, Jim O'Donnell had an office where they worked out of, that the gang went out of, and the other outfits had a place at their office where they worked out of, and that's where we'd go to these different offices.
How could you go? Were they close together so you could go to all of them at 8 o'clock in
no,
the morning?
No, we couldn't go to all of them. We'd go to some of them and one morning, or we'd go to another one a little later. If they come out and didn't hire later, we'd go over to another one. And maybe we'd make 2 or 3 in the morning. Sometimes we wouldn't get there in time. They'd hire somebody else. And part of the guys would go one place and part of them another. And we just hit or miss.
And that's how you got by during the Depression?
Yes.
When did you first become aware of the CIO?
Well, after the Depression, when they started organizing, I can't remember what day it was.
When do you think of as quote, after the Depression, end quote?
Oh, around 1935, 36, somewhere in there. It was a little while after the Depression because the first started organizing the automobile workers and people like that, and then they got to the oil fields later. I imagine when they got the automobile workers and maybe the rubber workers and different ones, they got some money so they could branch out into the other things, because the oil fields was hard to organize. On the kind of the migratory part of it.
When's the first time you can remember going to a CIO oil workers union meeting?
I don't remember the year. It was at the Labor Temple. I think it was the Labor Temple. It was someplace they had rented. I can't remember exactly where it was. Seems to me like it was downtown someplace, but I don't remember. Then they had a place out on Long Beach Boulevard. Then they built their own place on Willow.
Was Jim Coulter still with the union?
Well, I don't think he might have been right at the beginning, but I don't think so. I don't remember him being with it. There was a guy by the name of O.A. Knight, and I can't think of the other guy's name that were organizers. And then there was somebody who was secretary of the local, but I don't know who it was. I don't remember. And I remember O.A. Knight because I talked to him a lot. And I talked to the other guy, but I can't remember his name. And they were the organizers sent out here by the International. And they didn't do anything, they just organized. They organized. They first started organizing the refineries, and then they started organizing the production and the drilling department. When they got the refineries, some of the refineries organized, that gave us a name to work with, Dues.
Do you know where that was?
No, I don't know what year it was.
Since it was in the 30s, can you remember if it was like before or after you got married?
Oh, it was before I got married. I believe. I'm sure it was. But I got married just a while after that.
You say the Depression was over in what year for you?
Well, I can't remember. That book I got was when the Depression was over for me.
Okay,
I got the dates in that. But.
Okay, I'm going to stop the tape now, and I'm going to get the book, and then we're going to take up right here, okay? Okay, you've got your book to refer to now, and we're going to start again, and you're going to tell when the Depression was over for you.
Well, I've been working for $3 a day during when the Depression was still on.
Extra?
Extra. And I went to work on some. We got $3 a day in money, and we're supposed to get $3 a day in oil if we got money. If we got oil, but they never did pay us that.
I don't understand what that means.
Well, that was the agreement we had with the company, but they never did pay us any oil. They just worked, that was a good way to get by from working for $3 a day.
I don't understand what they were supposed to pay you that they didn't.
Well, you were supposed to get, if you got oil, they were supposed to pay you another $3 a day out of the oil that they got, but they never done it.
You mean twice as much?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, then I was married 5 days, and I was working on a job on Signal Hill for $3 a day. We were redrilling the well. And they come around on the graveyard and told me that I had to be in Bakersfield the next day to go to work. And I went up there, and we just worked one shift, 12 hours, 7 days a week, and we lived right out on the lease. I was at McGundon, just out of Bakersfield. And I got $5 a day board and room.
You talked about that on the other
day. And I finally quit that job before it was over. And I come down here, and things were starting to pick up down here a little bit, and I thought I could probably get a job. And the next job I got that was any good, outside of working extra, was with the Bartholomew Oil Company. The rig was over just off of the highway between Thornton and Berea. And I worked there 3 months. I got $7 and a half a day, and I worked 7 days a week. And I never missed a day, and whenever anybody wanted to take a day off or anything, I'd work 16 hours. And I worked, I don't know how many days extra during the 3 months that it took to drill the well. Then when that was over, Why, I went to work for a couple of little outfits, and then I went to work for the Royal Service in Wilmington. Wilmington started up there. And I forgot what they paid, $7 to $7.50 a day. And I worked there for quite a while. I don't remember how many years. And then the drilling was over. And then I went to work in the production gang. And I worked there until that slowed down. And then I got laid off, and then they drilled a well over Rosecrans, and I went over there and worked there. Then I got laid off there when they finished that well, while the war was starting. And that's when I left the oil field and went to work in the shipyard.
Could you explain what that book is that you're looking at, referring to?
It's a book that I kept records of. Where I worked and hours and stuff for a period of time.
And during this time, was the union organizing going on, or what?
I don't think they was organizing too much after I went to work for the Royal Service.
And then
you joined.
And you joined the union?
Yeah. Well, I joined the union in there sometime. I don't remember just what it was. I think it was when I was working for the production department. I'm not sure. Because I'd had, when I was in the AFL, it never mattered too much, and I wasn't too enthusiastic about it because I didn't think it was too think you were going out to too much. But when we well the first union it wasn't a contract. The first agreement we worked under was agreement to Royal Service. And the Sunray Oil Company had took over the Royal Service and they sent a man out here from Oklahoma where their headquarters was. And the company wouldn't let him sign the agreement. But we agreed on a contract, and he kept it in his desk, and he lived up to it, and we got along fine.
Now, did you work for another oil company after that? After the Sunray or the Oil Service?
Well, that was in the production department.
Yeah.
And after that, I can't remember if I worked, I probably worked for some little outfit after I got laid off there. But then I worked for, then they started to rig, they drilled a well over, a couple of wells over in Rosecrans.
And
so I worked on those.
That was a Royal Service?
Yeah. And then, about in there somewhere, the war come along and I went to the shipyard because it wasn't doing work in the oil field.
You said that in the 20s, it was unlikely that there would be more than one or two people on a crew who belonged to the AFL union.
Yeah.
How about in the 30s? Was it the same, or were there more people in the union?
There wasn't too many people in the drilling department that belonged to the union. It was more in the production department than the refinery. I don't know of any drilling department that had a contract.
Was it dangerous to belong to the union? Would you get fired if people found out?
Well, some of them pay attention to it because they didn't worry about too much. Royal Service didn't do a damn.
But it wasn't.
They didn't care if you belonged to the union, didn't bother them, they were fired for it, but some outfits did.
But you didn't work for any in the 30s that would fire people for belonging to the union?
No.
How did people think about the union differently, you think, in the 30s than they did in the 20s?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
In what way?
Well, they could see, they had the sit-down strikes in the automobile plants, and they got contracts, and they got better working conditions. And people knew that, and they was encouraged to do something to themselves by that.
Did the people that you worked with talk about these things?
Yeah. We discussed current events. That's what we're doing.
But you specifically talked about current events in the labor relations area.
Yeah, and lucky you were there.
Okay. What else were you doing during the 30s? You said you got married during that time, and you moved from the house that you lost during the Depression that had belonged to your parents before. Where did you go and live?
Well, I never lived in the house that I lost. I kept had that rented.
I thought you
said
you boarded with those people.
Well, I did for a little while when the folks moved, but I moved out and lived in apartments. They used to have, well, I guess they still have, what they call courts. And there was a living room with a bed folded up into the wall and a little kitchen and dinette. Because I didn't like boarding houses. That experience of the boarding house and the sardine sandwiches was enough.
Well, that wasn't really a boarding house, though.
No, but it was like living in a boarding house. I could order what I wanted to eat and eat when I wanted to, and I didn't have to be there to eat certain times. And I liked that place.
And how long did you keep on living in apartments?
Well, until I met a fellow, his name was Bert Smith, and his parents lived on what is now 101 Highway that was called the Temple. And they only had one son. We were about the same age, and we got along really good together. Him and I, he had two uncles. That was in 1926 when we went back to Michigan, but I worked at the automobile factory, but I didn't live with them until quite a while after that. Then I stayed with them. I'd stay with them. Then when I got transferred out of town or something, maybe I'd come back and get an apartment for a while, and then they moved out to be in the forest. And I lived with them part of the time, and part of the time I didn't. I lived with apartments.
How did you meet Bert for the first time? How did you get to know him?
Well, we used to hang out in East Long Beach at a pool hall. They had a little restaurant in the front of it, and they played pool. They had a pool hall in the back, and then he played cards in the back. And that's where I met him.
Did oil workers hang out there?
Yeah, a lot of them.
And what other kinds of people?
Well, Bert worked in a lumber yard just down the street a little way. Different guys worked different jobs. A lot of oil workers hung out there. I knew a lot of oil workers. A lot of oil workers hung out from there.
And did you talk about the union and places like that too?
Not too much. They weren't, unions weren't discussed too much in, out like that.
Did you belong to any organizations at this time too?
I belonged to the Elks. No, that was before the Depression. I belonged to the Elks. But when the Depression hit, I couldn't pay my dues, and they carried me for quite a while, and then I just said, well, I can't make it. I'm not going to make it, and I just went back.
Why did you belong to the Elks?
Oh, well, someplace to go, and if I got transferred to Bakersfield or someplace like that, well, you could get down with me. You didn't know anybody, you could get down with the Elks and get a friend or something. A lot of my friends were with the Elks.
You couldn't go to the Elks in Magunda, huh?
Well, they had enough lodges in Bakersfield.
And it was close enough that you could go
there? Yeah, I wasn't very far from town. We had cars and going back to Bakersfield at night. That's work.
Okay, you said you lived with Smiths at Buena Park.
Yeah.
And that was the address, was Buena Park, right?
Yeah, but it was near Cypress, and it was near the park. They were the post office. They didn't have a post office in Cypress. We got a mail from Buena Park.
And how long did you live with them out there?
I don't remember. While I was living there, I bought a half acre. And I bought that half acre for $300, and I had $300 and I paid cash for it. Then I was working shift work, and I wasn't working studying at the time. And I bought an old house, an old California-style house. It was down a little ways away from there. Some building alone and took it over to him and purchased the land over to something that was a person. I bought that house from him for $25, and I went down there and took a trailer and went down there and tore that thing down and hauled all the lumber up there and stacked it up on that half acre. Then when I was off shift and wasn't working, I'd go down there and pull the nails out and got it all in shape. And then Mr. Smith, Bert's father, he worked in the sash and door out there, but he knew carpentry. I didn't know anything about building a house or anything. So he showed me how to do it and helped me with the work. Because they didn't want to work in that either. Their business was worse than the oil field. So I built a little house, I think it was 18 by 26, one bedroom. And I dug the foundation myself by hand. I got the sand and gravel, and Mr. Smith put the front forms in. And I mixed the concrete myself by hand and poured it. And then he helped me. I helped him. He was the brains, and I done him and I worked, and we built the house.
What's a California style house?
Well, a California style house was made out of 1x12 redwood boards on the outside with bats. And the inside was just the studs was over 4 feet and wasn't no lining in it. I mean, there wasn't anything on there, wasn't any plaster on the walls or nothing.
Wasn't there anything like fire blocking?
Well, the fire blocking, when you put studs 4 feet on the center, then you run like fire blocking between the 4 foot studs and there you won the clothes too.
Just one all the way around or what?
Well, I don't remember just the exact construction, but your 1x12s run up and down like this stuff in this room, and you can't just nail it to the top and the bottom. You gotta have something in the center to nail it to, so you run a before in the center of the 8 foot stud.
Did it have a bathroom and a kitchen and stuff in it?
Oh yeah, it was a regular house, but that's the way the outside of it was finished. Redwood was plentiful and cheap. Then you could, it was just rough redwood.
Did it have regular walls? I mean, party walls? What do you call them?
Yeah, partition.
Yeah.
But the on the inside you could see the tubefore. There wasn't anything nailed off the tubal boards.
Then how were the partitions finished?
Same way. Well, I don't remember how the partitions were finished. I don't recall how they were finished.
And were these kind of houses all around?
There was a lot of them.
Did you know people who lived in, for example?
Yeah, when my folks come out here, we rented one like that. I can't remember where it was, but we rented one like that.
Okay. It was when you lived with Smith that the earthquake happened, so why don't you tell your earthquake story?
Well, I was living at, I was being a part of the Smiths, and I was working graveyard. I was working on Signal Hill on Pepper Drive with Jim O'Donnell. And I'd come home that morning. I usually come home when I worked graveyard. I'd come home, I'd get off at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'd come home and I'd have breakfast and sleep all day and get up about 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening and I'd go back to bed. And I just got up and was waiting for the Miss Smith to get dinner. And that thing hit. And everything just went to pieces. Everybody ran out in the yard. I don't remember when we eat, but the stuff all just fell in the kitchen. The cupboards flew open and everything fell on the floor, and it was just a big mess. And after it quit shaking, it, we went and cleaned it up and got stuff straightened up. But it just a little quiver and shaking all night. And I Well, after it settled down a little bit, Mrs. Smith's sister lived in Long Beach. So Bert and I, we listened to radio and we'd hear about all this stuff happening. So we decided to come into Long Beach and see if they was all right. So they lived down on Damon Dayton or something like that, near Holly High School. And when we started into town, people was coming out what is now Lakewood. I think it was called Cerritos then. When we come into town, they was coming out, the whole road was full of people going leaving Long Beach. So we come on in, we went into town, and we found them and found they was all right. We went around and looked at some of the stuff, but you couldn't get around too much because the Navy had a bunch of ships anchored out here in the harbor then, and they were bringing them sailors in and stuff to help out, you know, keep people from looting and take people to the hospital or whatever, and there's ambulances and fire departments going everywhere. And so we stayed in for a while and then went on back up. Well, I went up on the hill to see if I was going to work, and the crew was all standing out in the street, and they pulled the pipe out of the hole. They was coming out of the hole when it hit, and they pulled the pipe out of the hole and just shut the rig down until the next day. I didn't work that night, I went to work the next night. So that was my earthquake experience.
Well, where did all the people go who were going out Lakewood Boulevard?
Well, we had about 50 people out in the backyard at Cypress. I don't know, they just went everywhere, anywhere to get out of town and get out where they can be out in the open with something to pull on them. Because a lot of their houses were just, sides fell out of them and everything else.
What did they do in Cypress?
Well, they just sat out in the backyard, and we had some old pieces of wood out there, and we built a fire out in the backyard that night. Kept throwing the wood on to keep people warm. And there were people there we didn't even ever seen before.
And what did it look like? Did you see houses with the sides falling out of them and stuff when you were in town?
I remember one place when we was going into to Burke's. Uncle, we was on Anaheim Street, around California or someplace, and there was a store building with an apartment above it, and the side that fell out of the front end and fell off of that apartment house, and you could see the beds and stuff in there, just like it just took the front off of it. And Poly High School was just, you could just, look like a big bunch of rubble, and I remember seeing smoke coming up out of there, but I don't know whether they had a fire there or not. I don't remember. But I remember seeing smoke coming out of it. But the high school just looked like a big pile of rubble. We could see it from where we didn't go over to it, but where Bert's uncle lived wasn't too far from it.
Okay, so while you worked in the oil fields then, you never worked any place that officially recognized the union? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, while I worked in the oil fields, when I went to work for the Texaco and the refinery, they was officially recognized the union.
Is there anything else I should ask you about the oil fields before we...
Well, I can't remember, and some of this stuff I may have put in at the wrong time or something, because it's hard for me to remember all those dates. I may have some places where it should have been back the other way or going in front of it.
Okay, you said, why did you quit working in the oil fields?
Because there wasn't any work during the war, and I went to the shipyard.
And when did you go to the shipyard?
I'll have to look in my book. November the 21st, 1941, and I quit May the 9th, 1944, and I worked a few days for the Long Beach Oil Development, quit there and went to work for the Texaco May 17, 1944.
How did you find out about the job in the shipyard?
Well, I don't know. Somebody told me that I had experience in the oil fields around pipe and stuff, so I went down. I went to the pipe fitters local, which was a branch. It was the marine pipe fitters local, and it was a branch of the pipe fitter and welders local that did work for contractors, steam fitters and stuff. So I went there and I got a job through them. I went in there as a helper, and then I took the examination and become a fitter, pipe fitter. But they had people. They were looking for oil workers because they'd done a lot of different things and worked around pipe and stuff and steam. And heck, they couldn't get near as many people. Heck, they had. Well, we had pipe fitters that had been managers of Safeway stores and stuff. And a lot of people come in there to try to keep out of the Army.
How could the shipyard keep you out of the Army?
Well, that's what kept me out of the Army. I didn't go there because to try to keep out of the Army, but I went there because I needed a job. But when I got in there, they didn't have anybody that ever worked on steam. So somebody... they knew I'd been an oil worker, and somebody asked me, well, the boss asked me if I ever worked on steam, and I said yes. So they put me on steam and exhaust, and I stayed on that all during the war. And when my draft board, I was registered in Anaheim, because I'd lived out of Dillon Park, and there wasn't too many people out there then, and they got everybody. So I was called up. I'd get my notice that I was going to, that I'd have to notify my employer that I was going to be drafted into the Army. And I'd take that down to the superintendent of the pipe department, and he'd take it and go get me a deferment. I didn't have nothing to do with it. He'd just go do it. Because they didn't, because I'd had experience with steam, and they just didn't have anybody. They had to have somebody to do the work there. They couldn't take everybody. And it was just luck, as far as I was concerned, and not being in the right place at the right time that I didn't have to go to the Army.
Were they building some kind of war-related ships?
Yeah, they were all. We were building Liberty ships.
What are Liberty ships?
A Liberty ship is the first ship they started to build when the war started, so they didn't have near enough ships, and they were cargo ships. And there was an old-style ship that they built years ago, and there's a picture up on the wall. And they had all the blueprints and all, they had made engines and stuff like that, so they just reactivated all that stuff and started building. They didn't have to figure out new ships. Then during that time, they figured out a better ship, and I forget what they called that. They phased out building Liberty ships, but they build them all over. They build them in Portland and Richmond and down here in Long Beach Harbor and I don't know where all. And then they started building these other ships with turbines on them. These were old reciprocal engines, steam engines. And they were a lot better ships, but then the war ended pretty soon after that.
Were the steam engines fired with oil or coal?
Fired with oil.
What was the name of the shipyard you worked at?
California Shipyard.
And it was where was it?
On Terminal Island.
And when you worked there, was there a union in the shipyard?
Yeah, that's where I belonged to the Marine Pipefitters local.
And was it a CIO or an AFL union?
It was an AFL. It was AFL alone. Wasn't CIO, didn't have to do with it. That was before, I guess that was before the CIO and the AFL went together. I don't remember.
Do you feel like the union did a good job for you at the shipyard?
No. I knew this was a quick deal. They couldn't take the people that worked out of the 250, that's big local. They was experienced people and had worked with steam fitters and pipe fitters and welders, and they were experienced. But hell, they wasn't working out down there. They was working out on contract jobs and doing other things, making a lot more money. So they set up this marine local as a branch for that. And the guy went south of, it cost us, I think, $25 to join his local. And I got acquainted with the guy, the secretary's nephew or something. And the guy was stealing the money until they got it all set up and got a bookkeeping system set up. And they didn't do nothing for you. They just got it. I couldn't see where they'd done a bit of good. What could they do in a shipyard like that in the war going on? Nobody was more. It was all craft union, but they didn't have enough people. We were supposed to have hand riggers and people to do the jobs of burners and welders and stuff, and they didn't have near enough people. And I'd worked for contractors, and a lot of people just hung around there and didn't do nothing hardly. But I'd go crazy sitting around there not doing nothing. And I knew a lot of the riggers on the cranes and stuff from the oil fields, because they took people from the oil fields because they'd been doing that kind of stuff. So I'd get the pipe lifted on the ship quicker than anybody else, because I'd go down and talk to the guys I knew and put the slings on them and stuff, so that when they got time, they'd figure out and throw them on the ship for it. And then if we didn't have a welder, we'd check out a torch and do our own burning, me and my helper. And if we couldn't, we'd check out a welding hood, and we'd pick up a welding machine someplace that was all over the ways and tack our stuff up, and then I'd get the pipe all fit up, and then when a welder got time, they'd bring him around there and weld it up. And we'd put the gaskets in it and put it together.
How did you get to go from being a helper to being a journeyman?
Well, they made you take an examination to the union, but that didn't mean nothing. It didn't amount to nothing.
What kind of things did they ask
you? Oh, I don't figure a 45 and... I don't know, a few questions. I can't remember what they were, but maybe not too much.
But you didn't feel like it was a very challenging test?
No.
Didn't worry about not passing?
No. And I didn't know angles and stuff, about bent pipe, and everything had to be so close there in the ship, because for every inch of space and every pound of weight you save, that you can add that much more cargo. And those ships have just an enormous amount of piping. So I wanted to learn layout. So they had I went to one class, I can't remember where it was, and the people in there didn't know anything. They were starting from scratch. They took 2 hours to explain to somebody what a street ale was, and that wasn't for me. Heck, I wanted to get something better than that. Then I got in the class that you're supposed to have a high school education to get in. And that was over my head. But I was learning something, because some of the day was figuring trigonometry and stuff, and I didn't understand that. But they put a problem on the board, and I'd draw it out on paper, and then put the measurements and everything in it. And then at the end, he'd ask questions and put the answers, and they'd figure out the answers, and he'd have it all on the board figured out. Well, I'd copy that all down, and then I'd make notes, and then I'd go home and work on that till I understood as well as I could. And I was sat next to a big guy, young guy, and we'd talk every night, and He had high school education, had trigonometry, but it had been so damn long he'd forgot about it at first. So they finally started coming back to him, and they told us what kind of book to buy and different things. I bought the books, and then he helped me with that. And he didn't have too much experience with pipe, and I'd help him with some other things, like fittings and stuff that he didn't know about. So him and I worked together, and we really got along good, and there was a lot of people in there that wasn't in there to learn. They was trying to get that diploma because they thought they'd get a foreman's job in the shipyards. And I didn't go in there for that. I wanted to learn because I was sweating blood down there in the bottom of that ship with all them bends and stuff trying to figure out how to do the work right. So when it come time for the examination, well, him and I passed with flying colors, and there was guys all around us copying our stuff. But it really helped me a lot when I went to work. Then when I went to work for the Texaco, it really helped me because I worked a lot of different places. I've worked in the oil fields, and I worked in the shipyards with ground pipe, and I've seen a lot of things and a lot of different kind of fittings and a lot of things done that those people that went to work for the Texaco and worked there all or learned all they knew about pipe fitting and stuff in that one plant had never seen on the outside.
That brings up something that I forgot to ask you about two or three tapes ago. Tell about when you were a kid and you went to school. How long did you go to school? Or what were the circumstances?
When I went to school?
Yeah.
Well, we lived about 2 miles from the schoolhouse. G School. G to believe. It was in somebody's name. And we had to walk. And it was just a one-room building. And from the first grade to the eighth grade, all went to the same school. And we had one teacher. She taught in that school. And that's the kind of schooling I had. Except when we lived in Trenton, I went to school in the Baptist church, the basement of the Baptist church. So I don't know what happened to the school or something. They condemned the school or something. And I think that was the fifth grade or something like that. The fifth grade. And that's the only time I ever went to a school where all the kids were in the same grade and you had a teacher for that one grade.
Did your brothers and sisters went to school in Trenton also? Or your brothers at least went to school in Trenton? When you did?
Well, my older brother was out of school, and I don't think my younger brother was old enough to go to school, and I don't remember.
Then you don't know if all the grades were in the Baptist church?
No, they had different places that they was having different grades. And then they had some schools that wasn't condemned. This was the school that I was supposed to go to that was condemned. Or something. I don't know, I guess got to go over 34 miles.
And how long did you go to school?
I quit in the sixth grade.
And that was back at G School?
Yeah, we were back on the farm then after the war.
And did you go to G School when you lived in Hickory?
Yeah. It was about 2 miles from the farm to the school, about 2 miles from the maybe not quite as far from Hickory to the school.
That was the only country school you went to?
Yes.
And so why did you quit?
I went to work.
Doing what?
Farming. That's when, I guess I went to work in the store. I don't remember. I think I went to work in the store when my dad had sold out. My dad and I farmed, and then that was before I came to California. I can't get it all placed in sequence like it should be.
But anyway, so that when you came to this drafting class, you had a sixth grade education, essentially. But you could read and write and everything okay.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't know there was 360 degrees in a circle or nothing. I didn't know angles or anything, so I had to learn all that. And I learned how to do it. I had had experience in the oil fields of getting how to do things. Not figure out things, but how to do things. And the trigonometry never stayed with me, but I learned enough about it to learn how to lay out on my own and how to figure angles on my own. And I had a little book I carried in my pocket that I had